Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to Norma Chapman, Evangelist Norma Chapman's Facing Your Fears. I welcome all the listeners today. We want to thank you for joining us. Today we are going to be talking about what is your greatest fear. This program discussion will center around each one of us, specifically designing what hinders our witness. Any obstacles to freedoms, to use our gifts, to magnify God, to edify the church, and exemplify the fruit of the Spirit is to be identified. The primary scriptures that we're going to talk about today will help to clarify this for us. We're going to be looking at Matthew 6, 25 through 34, Philippians 4, 6, and 2 Timothy 1, 7. These verses will help to educate us to a deep spiritual truths, and they enable us to be able to avoid major pitfalls when we adhere to their guidance. I just want to thank everybody. My name is Stephen Smith. I am guest hosting this afternoon for Evangelist Norma Chapman. You are listening to Facing Your Fears, and we have a special guest this evening. I'd like to start this evening off with a prayer. If you want to pray with me, you can do that now. I just ask, dear Lord, thank you that you would bless us this day. If we are suffering for any reason, help us to be able to lift our spirits up. Be with us as we speak this evening and bless our special host, Annetta Walker, and allow these words to come into our hearts and to our minds and to allow us to be able to apply these truths to our lives so that we may better glorify you. I say these words in Jesus' name, and I pray, amen. Well, this evening, we have a special guest with us, Annetta Walker, and I'm going to turn this broadcast over to Annetta right now. Are you with us?
I am, Steve. Thank you so very much, and a very pleasant good afternoon to you and all of the listening audience. It is such a privilege for me to introduce myself. My name is Annetta Mobley Walker, and I was born in New Orleans. And I was raised in Louisiana in a Christian environment. And after being reborn at age 12, I grew as a member of the church, the body of Christ. I was educated in the public school system in New Orleans, and I graduated from Xavier University to become a leader in many Christian endeavors. Before retirement, I worked successfully as a licensed pharmacist in three states for over 50 years. But my primary mission was always to be an improver of health according to God's word. Presently, I devote most of my time, my talents or gifts from God, and my resources to two nonprofit foundations. I am responsible for the development, growth, and management of Ruberke Homeless Project. I'm also involved with the Robottom Foundation as a PR advocate, and it's a foundation that helps children. One of my passions is teaching adult Bible study, which I have done continuously since 2008 in various settings. I live each day for the joy that God has set before me, so that the life that I now lead, I always look at it as being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I am married. I have one daughter who is a physician. I have one stepdaughter and one stepgranddaughter, and I love and I'm so very proud of my family, and I have a large host of nieces, nephews, and I have two brothers and three sisters. And that's about who I am, Steve.
That's wonderful. You've got some real experience there. Obviously, you've been involved with the church for quite some time. I understand that you're going to talk to us this evening about what is your greatest fear. Maybe you can tell us about what your greatest fear is and how you're going to help the listeners deal with their fears and trust in God to be able to overcome their fear.
Yes, you know, Steve, the reason I selected this topic is that early in June, I had several friends, unfortunately, that died from the COVID virus. And then I was on the internet, and I saw that a young man, this was reported in the Hearst Sun-Times paper in California, that a very popular young man who had fame, fortune, he was very handsome. This young man was a multimillionaire, and he had committed suicide. And it just struck me, we're grieving of people who are dying that's fighting a virus, and then there are some people who are committing suicide. And they said he was depressed and had mental problems due to being confined during the COVID virus. And then I said, well, apparently he had some fears and some worries and some anxieties that maybe weren't addressed. So I thought about what are our greatest fears and are we addressing them? So first, I'd like to say to the listening audience, just bring to mind what's your greatest fear. And as we go through this program, just think about, have you specifically just designed in your mind or given it some thought, what is your greatest fear? And as I thought about what my greatest fear was, I thought about the fact that many years ago, before identity theft and hacking was popular, I had a problem with identity theft. And so I would bring to mind, well, my greatest fear would be identity theft. But then when I said be specific about your greatest fear, I thought about how bad would it be for me to allow someone to hack my mind? And I thought about in 2002, I took a course that used Joyce Meyer's her platform. She had put out a book about Battlefield of the Mind. And this whole teaching was about Satan wants our mind. And the weapons that he used is fear after we have different problems and what have you. So I thought about that and I said, you know what? We have to define what we're fearing and what's the root cause. If you remember, throughout man's history, from Adam's fall until today, man has faced problems. Trouble is a fact of life. Every person alive is has faced or will face some kind of sorrow, difficulty, persecution, heartaches. People die. Storms develop. You lose jobs. You lose relationships. Different things happen all the time. And we have to say, what do we do to recognize, define, and get to the root cause of these fears and these problems and how to deal with them? And we know that comes down to having a closer walk with God. We know that God is our GPS system. We always use the GPS to get us from point A to point B, and we need that to navigate when we don't know how to get to a certain address. But what about using a GPS for God to navigate us out of trouble and out of problems and out of fear? Because GPS, God's perfect salvation, GPS, God's perfect Son, GPS, God's peaceful Holy Spirit. See, we just want to say today that in times of trouble, we want to know where to go so that we could chisel away at the root cause of what's causing us to we're going to have problems, but what's our proper response to these problems? And the short answer is God's GPS system in all of its forms. His power, his passion, his promises. Matthew 28:20 says, I am with you always. John 14:11-3 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And before I turn it back over to you for a commercial, I would like to just say that a lot of times we interchange the words worry, stress, fear, anxiety. We interchange them. But you know, there is a difference, and I'll give you a brief idea of one of my fearful problems. For example, I was leaving to go to the airport to go on a trip where I was going to be the speaker. When I got in the car, there was a traffic jam, and I was a little frustrated, but I had left in plenty of time. But as I noticed the traffic was really not moving, that frustration became worry. Worry is when I put negative thoughts in with my frustration. I start thinking, oh, what about if they don't move the cars? What about if I have a problem? So then I took it from frustration to worry. Then as we got a little bit further, I start saying, oh, my goodness, what will happen if I miss my plane? So in addition to the worry, it became anxiety because I put a visualization with my negative thoughts to start believing that something was going to prevent me from making my plane. But then I finally got to the airport. I was at the airport trying to get to my gate. And would you believe, in all my nervousness and my frustration, I couldn't find my driver's license. So then I start to kind of panic. Now, when you go through all of these steps and you don't deal with them, it becomes this root problem of fear. God gave us an adrenaline mental response that we should deal with fear. We will have problems. We will have situations, but we are to respond using godly methods. And I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. And I stopped, and I said a short prayer. Then I remembered I had taken my driver's license out of my purse and put it in my pocket for easy access. Immediately after I said that prayer and remembered that God is always with me, then I got on the plane, and the second thing I did was thank God, because by that time, my stomach was in a knot. I was just all perplexed. We have to deal with problems. So one of the things we want to point out in this program today is not whether or not you have a problem, but don't take that problem from the step one to make it fearful and to immobilize your responding properly. Steve?
Well, that's very well said, Ms. Walker. I want to remind everybody, this is Stephen Smith, and I am standing in today on Facing Your Fears for Evangelist Norma Chapman. And we have our special guest, Annetta Walker, today, and we're talking about what is your greatest fear. And I would like to let you know, listeners, if you have a question or a comment, you want to share your opinion, you just have something to say, go ahead and press 1 on your phone, and that will put you in the phone queue, and we will get to your question or comment in just a few moments. So you still have time to do that. Go ahead, press 1, and that will put you in the queue. We do appreciate you listening to Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman. And at this point, I'll go ahead and I'll just tell you a little bit about my greatest fear. One of my greatest fears, Annetta, was being honest and being, you know, transparent with people. And I say this in specific reference to hiding behind the mask of using drugs and alcohol in the past to overcome and cope with the things that I had. I was making some very poor choices years ago. I've been able to overcome that by the grace of God and through his will and my faith in him. And so that's what I heard you talking about, is having faith. And maybe you can expand upon that more and turning it over and trusting in the Lord to be able to give us the strength to overcome our fears.
Absolutely. Steve, you know, in the Bible, it's God gives us courage and God does this for us. But we have to really get into his word and be specific when we need to call upon him. I looked it up on the internet and I found out that the word fear is listed over 500 times in the King James Bible. Obviously, God is trying to send us a message, some warning signs for us to be aware that we will have fear and that we have to deal with it. 366 times in the King James Bible, it says, "Fear not." That's one verse for every day of the year. So that's a lot for the Bible to teach us. But then a lot of the times that he used the word fear, he said, "Fear God, opposed to fear not." And when he says fear God, it really means have that reverence and faith in God alone and realize not to fear anything or anyone else above fearing God. God never wants our circumstances or our situations to rob us of our peace and joy in our relationship with him. But when you look at the fear and the fear not, the way it's used in the Bible, it takes me right to the verse found in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind." But let's not read over this verse too fast. Let's go back like we're really doing a Bible study and look at what it says. God did not give us the what? Spirit. That grabbed my attention because I never thought of fear as a spirit. And if we're not to have this spirit of fear, it's obviously not something good. So it's an unholy spirit that's coming from our enemy. So that verse is cut right in half, and it explains fear not and fear. When we fear not, we don't have that spirit of fear, and we have to use God's word to make sure we conquer those fears. But then what's the last part of the verse? It says, "But God gave us the Spirit," so we can say the Holy Spirit, "of power," three things, "of love," and "of a sound mind." That is clearly saying this unholy spirit of fear has no in my life when I realize I have the Holy Spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So as I go through this and I think about so many Bible verses, one of the first ones I think about is that God gave us weapons of faith. When we have fear, when we have problems, when we have situations that we think will cause us anxiety and depression, in our human thinking, the first thing we start doing is talking to ourselves about it. That's our thinking process. That's our thought. The second thing we do is talk to others about it. That's our speaking, and that's our thinking how somebody else can help us. But really, to conquer our fears, the first thing we do is call on the weapons of faith. Let's think about that power, that spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. So you go to Ephesians 6:11-18 and think about the armor of God. He gives us six weapons to battle with. And you know the weapons. I won't go over them. It's the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the shoe of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, going with the truth, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the only defensive weapon, which is the Word of God. And you know Jesus is the Word of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But he ends the weapons of faith with something very interesting in verse 18 in Ephesians 6. He talks about prayer. So one of the things, now, when we start worrying, we spoke to ourselves and thoughts. When we wanted to vent, we spoke to our friends and complained. But God is saying, speak to me. It's called prayers. And he tells us how to do it. And this is the famous verse 18 that we call the four O's of prayers. And that verse tells us to pray all the time, to pray for all the people and saints, to pray in all situations, and to use every form of prayer that you know, the prayer of faith, the prayer of obedience, the prayer, every prayer you know you could use it, the intercessory prayers. God is saying, put on that armor when you're going through fearful problems, because it's not that we have fear, we will have it, but we want to have the proper response using God's word so that we could conquer our fears. And that is so important for us to keep that going at all times and remember that.
It really is. It is about overcoming our fears, and to overcome your fear, you certainly have to step into that fear, and you have to take a risk, and you have to trust and have faith that God will have that answer. Now, I want to encourage all the listeners to call and press 1 on your phone and speak to our beautiful guest here this afternoon, Ms. Annetta Walker, and just press 1 on your phone. We'll put you in the queue, and we'll be getting to your questions in a moment. My name is Stephen Smith, and I am standing in for Evangelist Norma Chapman on Facing Your Fears, and we appreciate you listening to us this day. I wanted to just mention here 2 Timothy 1:7, you know, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and a sound mind. Now, you mentioned about thinking, and thinking is an important factor here. And so sometimes I know that we have to get rid of some of this self-limiting thinking and release that and replace that with faith. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. Faith is the cornerstone of getting rid of fear. And if you remember the story about Joshua going to, into the promised land as a spy, and Joshua and Caleb came back with a report of faith, but the other 10 spies came back with a report of fear. They said, oh, there are giants, we can never take over this. And of course we have the famous verses in Joshua chapter 1 verses 6 through about 9 that God tells us He has not given us the spirit of fear. He wants us to have courage. And I call that the courage chapter in Joshua. So, yes, faith is the cornerstone to fight against fear.
I had to, for myself, decide that on my own will, I was making choices that weren't that good. You know, I've been in a relationship with God and Jesus Christ as my Savior for quite some time. But what I was doing was taking back the will, taking back the direction, and then not walking so closely. And so when I turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand Him, things finally started to change for me. And that's the things that kind of helped me over some of, you know, my poor choices were deciding that the best way to cope was drinking and, you know, just making really bad choices and not being an asset by any means to myself or the community. I also wanted to go to Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord, thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And so I do believe that God's there to help all of us. And the first step in that is taking action. So maybe, Ms. Walker, you'd talk to us about taking action on these thoughts and these verses that you've been sharing with us this afternoon.
Okay, I'd love to do that, and I'd love to give you an example that's going on right at this time. We started this show at 4:30. Well, right at 4:31, probably, I'm in New Orleans. It started really raining hard. And there was a little strike of lightning. It's not bad or anything, but the first thing I started to do was thinking, oh my goodness, what if, oh my goodness, I hope that, see, one of the ways that fear takes over is we start thinking negative thoughts, saying to ourselves, what if, what are we going to do? And that's not the way to deal with fear. So immediately I started saying, now this is a great example that I have to teach myself during this lesson. It's raining. Thank God for the rain. The grass needs water. God is going to provide. So one of the first things in dealing with conquering fear is don't let the negative thoughts plant themselves in your mind. When you find yourself thinking these things, you have to realize that negative thoughts never produce anything but bad choices. And then, as I said, I was a pharmacist for over 50 years, and there is a clinical condition called anxiety. And anxiety is when your fears and your worry and your stress and any situation you have is not dealt with, you can actually have psychological effects that become so pronounced that they become a mental condition and they start affecting your performance. Depression sets in and it really robs you of being able to function. So it's so important that you do not misinterpret signs and warnings from God, that we're not to just think about negative things and not conquer them and not deal with them or reinforce it with some positive things. And then let's just give a clear definition about fear. It's defined as a true emergency, which is happening right now, versus a perceived threat that's in your mind. And that's very important because God gave us adrenaline. When there's a true emergency, He gives us adrenaline with fight and flight so that you can deal with that emergency. And one of the ways you deal with it is physically with the adrenaline and mentally with prayer. But, you know, one of the things that all Christians have to remember is that we are representing Jesus Christ. He was in this world for 3.5 years, and he went among the people, blessing them, helping them, comforting them, teaching, preaching, and showing them with miracles who his Father was and what his Father was capable of doing for us that believe in him. And when he left, he gave us an assignment. He said, these things that I do, you can do more than them, because he was physically one person, because even though he was God 100%, he was also man 100%. But he said, together as the body of Christ around the world, we could do greater things than he did. So we have to recognize that we cannot allow fear to rob us of our God-given witness. The hands that Christ uses today to minister to human needs and encourage people, these hands to help, these are our hands as members of the body of Christ. Each one of us have different gifts, but we cannot allow fear or anything else that Satan throws at us to limit, hinder, or become an obstacle to our witness. The very voice that Christ empowers us to speak words of cheer and encouragement. Christ uses our voice in this world, this radio program. Thank God for Minister Evangelist Chapman that she had the insight to have such a program where hundreds and thousands of people can be inspired and uplifted and encouraged, because in today's environment, with the COVID-19, us being at home, kind of locked in, I mean, how much television, how much whatever can you do? This is something new for us. So we have to rely on something better. But thank God for this show and Evangeline Chapman, that we can have a platform where we can speak to one another over the media and encourage one another. So we just want to continue to do that. And then the feet that Christ trained before he left this earth to go on errands of love, today these are our feet. So I don't have time to be straddled with depression and fear when I should be out taking care of business for God. We are his ambassadors. And Christ, as we represent Christ in the world, our lives should be reflectors of who he is. And the peace that we show the world should be the peace that he left with us, Steve.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%. And I want to thank all the listeners that are listening to us this evening. You are listening to our special guest this evening, Ms. Annetta Walker, and this is Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman. And we're talking about what is your greatest fear. And, you know, fear is an unpleasant emotion. It's caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous or likely to cause us pain or threat. And we're talking about how you can overcome your fears and have faith in the Lord. And I want to remind the listeners that you can reach out if you've got a comment or you would like to say something to our special guest, or you've got a question for us. Press 1 on your phone, and we'll put you in the phone queue, and we will be coming to your questions here just shortly now. I appreciate everybody. Be patient with us. We are going to get to your calls. And it's a wonderful discussion we're having this evening, Ms. Walker. Clearly, you have a very good handle on dealing with fear and guiding others to overcome it. And one of the things that I wanted to mention is that we are dealing in a difficult time, and people are actually taking their own lives because they are so sad or despondent and don't know how to deal with this isolation. And so maybe you'll share with our viewers about some of the techniques that they can use, or some of the tips that you would share with them to overcome this loneliness or this depression that they might be feeling right now.
Absolutely. Now, I already talked about one of the things. It's Ephesians 6 with the weapons of faith. Another thing, we have to use this opportunity to do exactly what we're doing on this radio show today. You may not have a radio show, but you can get together with friends and you could do positive things. You can say once a week, we're going to go over a special story in the Bible. We're going to see if there's anybody with a particular problem that we, there was a big lightning and thundering just now. But anyway, I don't know if you can hear it, but we have to just find out methods that we could use to encourage one another. And guess what? At one time or another, each one of us will go through this dark period where we need to be uplifted and we need to be encouraged. So one of the other things, we use the weapon of faith to conquer fear. But we also use the positive side of that. And we know that's found in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23. And when I teach that to my children classes, I would always get an actual fruit to to help them remember those things. So I'm going to go over the fruit of the Spirit and kind of give you the fruit. So when I give you the fruit, it's because maybe we could do some better eating while we're at home, because one of the things we do when we get bored is we kind of overeat, and also we may eat the wrong food. So it's very important to realize that how we eat is a form of worship, because we can eat and do harm to our bodies. But anyway, the fruit of the Spirit. We have the first three that is man's training from God as to his state of being, and that's love. And I always use the apple to represent love because it's red and it kind of reminds us of a heart. Or it's just a very familiar fruit. So I use apple for the first fruit. The other one is joy. I use a banana for joy because yellow is always a happy color and it's also a very popular fruit. Then I use for peace, I use a peach because the spelling is so close for the children to remember. So we have joy, love, joy, and peace, how we fortify our inner man. Then we have long-suffering or patience, and I use plum for that. We have kindness. I use the kiwi fruit just because it's a K in kindness. And then we have goodness, and goodness comes in a lot of forms. So I use grapes for that because grapes come in bunches. And this is how we relate to one another. This is how we help one another to overcome fear. We have patience with one another. We're kind to one another, and we're good to one another. And we know kindness and goodness sort of sounds alike, but goodness is what you purpose in your heart. Kindness is the actual act of doing what you purpose. Then we have the last three, and it's our response to God. It's our faithfulness to his word and being obedient to that. And the fruit I use for that is a fig. Then there's meekness. Meekness is power under control. It's using what we do, but not in a boastful, prideful manner. We're always humble and meek before God when we do the work. And I use a honeydew melon for that. And the last one is self-control or temperance, moderation. No matter what we do, we have to do it so that it's decent and in order, so that we always give God the glory, no matter what situation we're in. And the fruit that I use for that is strawberry. And one of the things I'm reminded of, with the COVID situation, this country is in an unprecedented, uncharted waters as to how we react to that. But in the midst of that, we have some other civil unrest and whatever. And I got into a discussion with somebody, and one of the things that was so prevalent in my presentation of the discussion was temperance and self-control. Because in dealing with any situation and in dealing with somebody who comes to you with a very bad problem where they're fearful and they're just depressed and they're out of it, no matter what I know, no matter how many Bible verses I have to enter into that person's sphere of thinking at that time. At the time that I'm trying to help them, it does not help them or me to say, you're just depressed, you're worried, you're fearful, quote this Bible verse. That's not quite the way it's done. You have to use God's word to say, first, I have to understand where that person is at this time and love them and be patient with them, and then tell them in biblical terms, we need to get you from point A to point B, because where you are right now is not the best thing for you. God wants to love you through this to get to a better state. So in using the fruit of the Spirit, it is powerful because it always gives you an outreach kind of loving position, not to say you're there, I'm here, I'm right, you're wrong. No matter what situation it is, it has to be a unity of purpose. And the purpose is to be God's ambassador and to get from fear to where God wants us to be with courage and peace.
I agree 100%. I love the way that you do that with the association to the fruits. The fruits of the Spirit are certainly gifts from God. When we're doing God's work, He gifts us with these fruits of the Spirit. And I just want to remind everybody that my name is Stephen Smith, and I am the guest host this evening for Evangelist Norma Chapman. And this is Facing Your Fears. We're talking about what is your greatest fear. And we have Evangelist Norma. I believe she's in the studio. Are you with us, Evangelist Norma?
Good evening. Good evening to Mr. Smith and to our beautiful, beautiful guest on today, Mrs. Annetta Walker. I have been tuned into the show, and I tell you, I've really been enjoying you, Ms. Walker, and about this fear and what is your greatest fear. And I just wanted to ask her a question on today in reference to her topic. I am a little hoarse, and I just want to greet all of my listeners on today. And I'm so very happy that you're tuned in to Facing Your Fears on today. And know that I'm very grateful to have all of you to tune in every week on Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show as we join in down this path that God are leading all of us and getting knowledge and understanding about what fear is and how we should not fear and come from behind the mask to be able to challenge all of fears that Satan or our mind tell us to do. Ms. Walker.
Yes, ma'am.
We all fear what we do not understand. I think we all have a fear we do not understand. And I'm going to just say something on that, because our best defense with that would be knowledge, which reminds me that we're living in an age of unparalleled access to information and knowledge. As bad as things may feel today, the very important thing and the very thing that we should always remember, that the ignorance in which people lived in the past for worse. Mr. Smith, do you understand what I'm saying here? I mean, we're living in some perilous times.
I do.
Before the coronavirus, we still were dealing with a lot of our lives were in danger because of a lot of crimes and sickness and death, and all of these things were already there. And people, as people, and I'm going to attest and say how I feel about it. I fear a lot of things. The number one thing that I feared when I went to my tragedy was going to hell. And that should be our greatest fear above anything else, is not having a relationship with God. And without having a relationship with God, the listeners out there, we know and understand and have knowledge that if we don't, we will wind up in hell. We will wind up in hell. So that's my greatest fear. Another thing
we
I
appreciate.
Talk about, I'm going to turn it back over.
We appreciate that. Thank you so very much for sharing that.
Talk about why do we fear something? Why? Why did God create fear? And then he tells us that we should not have the spirit of fear. But I think that in the spiritual realm, what God talking about is knowing and having knowledge that he's there. And we can, as I always say on the talk show, we can always pray and ask that move those obstacles in our way. And Ms. Walker, fear
yes, ma'am.
Is the most basic human emotion, if you would agree with me on this. It's a basic emotion. And I think what you're trying to reach out to our listeners on today is that it doesn't have to be an emotion. I heard you say earlier that because we think things, we think negativeness. We allow fear to come in when we start thinking that we don't have control over it. And what I'm reading, and as I'm listening to you talk about this amazing, awesome, informative, important topic on today, it helped me to realize I just had fear a couple of days ago. I feared that through my moving, I wouldn't get the help I need. Things wouldn't line up the way it should be lined up. But it did because God worked it out. But look at all the time I waste being depressed, not depressed, but really being stressed about it. Because God don't want us to be stressed about anything. He said in his word, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So why do we fear? Why do we fear?
Well, there's a number of answers to your question. When you first started, you said the easy answer to the question, what is your greatest fear or what are you afraid of? We know the biblical answer is found in Mark 8:36. It says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? So our greatest fear should be not living with God from eternity. So we want to put that out there as the absolute greatest fear that anybody should have. But to get to part A and B and C of your question, you asked, why do I think God gave us the emotion of fear? Actually, fear is one of the strongest emotions that the body can experience. So needless to say, if you go back to the battlefield of the mind, this war we're having with Satan, if that's one of the strongest emotions, that's the one he's going to want to attack more than any others, because it can just bring us to our knees. It can hinder us. It could be an obstacle. So one of the things that reason God gave us fear is because there may be in life true emergencies that fear has to kick in and help us get out of that emergency. If we're in a burning house, we need fear, the adrenaline, to get us moving. So in all of the godly responses to fear, he wants us to conquer them. So one of the things we have to realize is that we will have fear. Now, let me just interject something here. Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, that in the last days, we're going to have a lot of things to fear. Things are not going to get easier. They're going to get harder because people themselves are going to be unloving. You know the verse, they'll be brutal. They'll be lovers of self, haters of family, and on. But God is saying, prepare yourself, fortify yourself with his word. You know this is coming. And even though my greatest fear is to go to heaven and to seek God first, his kingdom and his righteousness, that's my eternal perspective. But what is my earthly perspective? My mission after I become a child of God, which I did at 12 years old, my mission is to be a witness for God to the best of my ability using the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if I'm burdened down with complaining and crying and letting fear entrap me without trying to conquer that fear, then I'm not a faithful witness. So one of the things we do is arm ourselves beforehand with the Word of God. The Bible study is just not for us to know good stories. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 say we have to thank God that the word that he gives to us is to be implanted in us so that it can work effectually through us. So God's word is our means of dealing with life. We understand, for example, it's raining. We have an umbrella. We have a metaphor for rain is that we're going to prepare that if we're ever in the rain, we're going to have what we need to not get sopping wet. Well, it's the same thing with preparing our hearts for fear and problems and circumstances and situations that are not good. They are going to come. It's going to happen. But that's the reason daily God asked us to be in his word. And he gave us a metaphor for being in his word. It's like food. You can't eat once a month and say, well, I have what I need. The word of God is the bread of life. That's the analogy that he gives us. So just like we feed ourselves with food, we have to feed ourselves with the word of God daily so that we can be equipped and prepared and ready for the next battle in this war. There's a popular song, and I love the refrain. It says, every choice is an act of war. It's either for God or against God. We may not see it like that. We may not think it's like that, but in actuality it is. So Evangelist Chapman, I love this real life example that you just put before us, because keeping it real is where we have to be. Every one of us said at the very beginning, you either have a problem, just got out of a problem, or you're preparing to get in a problem. So it's coming. It's going to be there as long as we're in this fallen planet. But
it can happen. Absolutely, it does.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
we've
been talking about how, you know, any obstacles to using these gifts from God, these fruits of the Spirit, need to be released. You know, we need to magnify and glorify God, turn our concerns over to him. He will provide answers for us. I want to speak as well to those that might be in a comfort zone to step into your fears that you have, because you might be keeping yourself in a comfort zone and actually maybe not facing some of this stuff because you'd just rather not deal with it. But when you step into your fear and out of that comfort zone, it provides an opportunity for you to grow and to learn something new. And if you don't try anything, nothing will change. You know, we are all creative in nature. Everything starts with a thought, but then it takes the action plan to make that happen. You know, we all have these seeds of greatness within us, and we can achieve greatness by following what God has given us as the directions to stepping into fear and not fearing, because he will take care of us. And I would mention this, Psalms 23, 4 and 5. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They prepares the table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. And when you turn it over, and you start nourishing those seeds of greatness and those fruits of the Spirit that we all have, you can overcome your fears. You are listening to Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman this evening. I am your guest host, Stephen Smith. We've had the beautiful Annetta Walker speaking to us tonight, and I hope that you've been enjoying this broadcast. We appreciate everybody that took time to come and listen to us. We certainly do. Now, I'd like to offer the opportunity for you, Ms. Walker, to be able to, how could people reach out and talk with you or send you an email, or how do they find out more about you? Can you tell us how they can reach you?
Absolutely. I have an email address. It's armwalk@cox.net. That's ARWALK at Cox, COX dot net, armwalk@cox.net, or you can find me on Facebook, Annetta Walker.
Excellent. All right, I'd like to have this opportunity to bring in Evangelist Norma again for us with some closing thoughts. Evangelist Norma, I'm going to turn it over to you.
God bless you. God bless you. Ms. Walker, thank you so very much. And I want to tell you to keep on and going down the path that God has prepared you to go down in. On this topic on today, it's such an interesting topic. I had a little bit more to say, but we have ran out of time for today. I don't want to go over in the studio today, but I just want to encourage our listeners to know that fear is something, it's something that is going to come in our lives. Fear is something that we're going to experience. Or if you hadn't already experienced it, you will experience it. Fear is in little children. We're born with fear. Why? Evangelist Chapman said, we're born with fear. Because the baby, the noise, a baby jump, certain things the baby is afraid of, and they're just a baby. So we're born with fear in our lives. But as we grow and we become adults and we start getting in our late teenage days and our early adult days, then we begin to seek the knowledge of God. And when we seek the knowledge of God, gives us the equipment, the word, and the encouragement, and everything else that we need to fight that word fear in our lives. As Ms. Walker was saying, and she gives some beautiful examples and Bible verses that the listeners that you can go to. But before I close out the show on today, you still have time, listeners, to call in. We have a couple of more minutes. If you have any questions, comments, I just want to share your thoughts or experience on today's topic. And we're talking about fear, obstacles, freedom, gifts, being a witness, and also what hinders us from getting rid of our fears. So you do have time, if you have a couple of minutes, to call in. If you want to emphasize on anything that our guest was talking about on today, and I want all of the listeners for calling in on today, I want to thank my guest host, Mr. Stephen Smith out of Tampa, Florida, for tuning in for me early on the show. And I want to thank my special guest on today. This is Annetta Walker out of New Orleans, Louisiana, an amazing woman of God, a woman of knowledge, a woman of wisdom, and is a woman that has understanding. And listeners, the show is almost about to come to the end, and we're going to yield here and let our guests bring us out with our closing prayer at this time. But listeners, remember, every Thursday, the time, 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, tune in with Faith in the Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Bring us out with our closing prayer, special guest, to everyone that called in on today, and make sure you call back again and again and again. God bless you. Closing prayer.
Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we come before you on behalf of every person listening in the sound of our voice, Heavenly Father. We come to you asking you to deliver each one of us from the spirit of fear. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this show, and we just ask you to continue to give us, equip us, give us what we need so that Evangelist Chapman can continue to do the work that she's doing to witness for you, Heavenly Father. And we want to say, Father, whenever we are afraid, we ask on behalf of every listener, help us to put our confidence in you. Help us to trust your promises. And help us all to be safe during this COVID-19 crisis. And show us your will so that we could still shine and be your salt and light during this crisis. And we just ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you so very much, Ms. Walker.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you again.
You're very welcome. We want to thank the listeners for tuning in. Remember to join us next Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Central Time for Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman. We want you to have a great day. And remember, you've got to believe you can do it, and then you can reach your goals. Thank you. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody. We appreciate you, and God bless.
God bless. Goodbye.